Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish, where I think this is more the norm than I think the regular or the typical agenda. Our co-host, Mr. Rick Vanover, is on the road, and he joins many other co-hosts who have always been on the road. But Rick, where are you podcasting? What patio are you podcasting from today?
Yes, we are indeed podcasting from the patio. And Brad, I got to tell you, I am at a very special place this week. I'm in San Diego.
Nice.
And I make sure I say this right. I'm at the lodge at Torrey Pines.
So oh,
Torrey
no.
Pines. Yes.
No, I didn't even know that. Yes, I am
look
really
at that.
Jealous.
This place is amazing. It's like, there's a world-class golf course here.
Yes.
Tiger Woods has won 8 times.
It's a very
US
good
Open
golf course.
It's coming back here. This place is amazing. And it's a little bit too fancy for me, honestly.
Yeah.
I can never stay here on my own. But we hosted our industry analysts here, the Veeam Analyst Summit. Mm. And we just wrapped up a little bit ago. So this was an outstanding venue. We went to the owner of this resort has a private car collection. And
wow.
We went to his garage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was legit. I'm not even a car buff when I was
yeah.
impressed. So
it's
special.
You've got a lot of nice places. So is the other co-host. They've all podcasted from various hotels across. This is the one that I'm jealous of. This one,
yeah. In fact, one of the people on my team, Melissa Palmer, she's a car nuthead too. And she, when I showed her the pictures from last night, she was like, oh, because she came to this event last year. But she just had a baby, so she couldn't make it to mm-hmm. Vimon or to this. But she was a little jealous as well. So there's a little bit of envy in my team about this. It is a beautiful, special place. Everything was perfect.
There's some envious on this side of the podcast. Now, there's no way to verify or ever prove this. But Rick did not tell me anything. He just said I'm on a patio, and I knew he was somewhere out in California because he told me at an analyst event. When I saw the building behind you, I was like, I wonder if he's at Torrey Pines.
Really?
Yeah, because, it's when they, so the only reason I know that is because I watch a lot of golf, and they will do kind of like the personality, like not behind the scenes stuff, but you know how they tell stories about players and whatnot. And I've seen those shingles that are behind you from a lot of shots, that kind of that not shingles, but that siding. And I was like, what are the odds? And then then when you said you're at the lodge, I was like, oh, no, he is.
Well, next time, Brad, I'll fly you out and we'll do it on the patio together.
Now we are talking. Then we're going to run down the street to Spyglass and to Pebble Beach. And
it's great. I don't usually have the smile stuck on my face for a work trip, but this one's doing it.
The podcast title should just be Brad is Jealous of Rick. That is it. We're done. We'll catch everyone next time. But for the people who are actually tuning in for real solid information, we got a really good reader question coming up, but I want to just run through a couple headlines here. Windows Server 2019 is getting support for Office 365 Pro Plus. Microsoft is adding this support even for their virtual desktop infrastructure. If that makes sense to you and you're getting excited by that, definitely go check that out because that is very, very relevant. And Microsoft is also, or they have at this point, has issued fixes for non-supported versions of Windows Server. There was a really nasty remote desktop services component, basically exploit, that was floating around, and they patched it for Server 2008 and 2008 R2. So if you are still running that, you shouldn't be, but if you are still running those things, you can go grab a patch that will actually protect you. It's not even out of band. It's like out of band, out of service, rare patch. They've done that a couple times for Windows XP, but obviously it's a pretty nasty exploit if Microsoft is willing to ship that patch to you for free.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that. For one, I mean, this just underscores the need to always keep infrastructure modernized and up to date, new OS or not, right? And so this is one of those areas where it's worth taking the time to get a automated and approved with your stakeholders framework in place to make sure that updates are done correctly, often, and completely. Right. This is one of those things that it's like, I'm going to go do my push-ups at home. No, let's do them when you work out. Right. So updates are kind of the same way. So it's one of those things that this is just another example of this, you know, ransomware exploits, whatever it is. This is just one of those due diligence practice points that, you know, it's kind of funny because I don't see enough current updated you know, advising best practices on it. Maybe I could help out. I don't know. But because I, you know, I support a lab and all that. Maybe we could share some insight. But this is just one of those due diligence areas. And then when it comes to the obsolete OSs, you mentioned XP as well. They've had those types of things come up. I, you know, just a warning, right? What is it? 2008 R2 is January. Is that when it goes end of life? So January 22nd, something like that. And just a, an additional piece of advice is that you, you run into one of those situations where I talk a lot to people about backing up things. And when it comes to old operating systems, I usually, especially physical, I can't back them up. And everyone's like, well, why don't you make your Veeam agents do Windows 2003 or XP and all this? And I'm like, look, you have bigger problems than backup if you can't modernize your OS, right? So you almost have to work backwards to try to get that solution right. So, yeah, this is just another reminder from a security thing perspective. These are the types of things that people are going to, you know, lose jobs over, what I like to call resume generating events. Yeah. So
that one took me a second, but I get it.
So, yeah, just, you know, these administrative points, the finer points, the basics, right? There's an opportunity to keep that up. And then to the first point, I think this is one of those things that'll, with Pro Plus, Office Pro Plus coming to Windows Server 2019, this is just another element that'll help drive Windows Server 2019 adoption, right? So that's, that makes sense. No real surprise there, but it's one of those things that has to be done to help drive adoption.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Rick, question du jour. And this one, this one I have been sitting on for about 2.5 weeks, and it comes to us from a listener named Craig. Craig, very much thank you for this question. He is a consultant, but he works with a lot of small businesses. He says, Brad, can you please ask Rick this question? He goes, I manage a small business that has a budget of $7,500 for the year for backup and disaster recovery. They generate about 200 gigabytes of data each quarter. How would you spend this small budget to get the maximum amount of impact for my customer?
Well, this is an interesting question. So for Craig, you know, there would be more questions, but Craig's not on the call, so I'm going to think out loud here. So it is my deepest hope that you're doing some sort of backup already. Okay. And first of all, I'd want to keep that, and I'm going to assume there's basically no cost for that. What then I start getting into things like, well, what about getting data offsite? What about disaster recovery? And honestly, one of the easiest ways to do that is with a service provider. And when I say service provider, I don't necessarily mean Azure, AWS, et cetera. I mean, especially in North America, big service providers like iLAN, PhoenixNAP, Offsite Data Sync, New Cloud Networks, and Green, a whole bunch more, right? But they can offer what's what I call DRaaS, Disaster Recovery as a Service, which can do one of two things. Actually, it can do both things if you'd want. One is host backup data offsite, okay? That's one thing to do. And that usually is priced per terabyte of storage. So just backup data offsite. And if you want a low cost solution, like how much would it really cost to hold, I don't know, I'm making up a number here, 200 gigs of storage offsite through a service provider per year? I'm pretty sure you could do it in that money.
Yeah.
Now, having a runnable DR site, which is, you know, compute resources available for you in the event that the primary site fails, I don't know what that would cost, but, you know, you can definitely find out. So I would really look into doing that through a service provider. And, you know, if they're using Veeam for backups, I know for a fact that you could do this very easily. So that's one recommendation. Another recommendation, you know, and if, you know, some organizations don't fancy service providers, they get another recommendation would be something around getting backup data offsite. And, you know, that can be tapes, that can be removable disks, that can be a second site with, you know, your own network and doing copies of backup data. And also, if you have a second site, things like replication, okay? So replicating data offsite, replicating virtual machines, replicating copies of backups, those types of things come into play. You know, the one thing I hate to say, I'm not really good on the price of devices and things, but my recommendation is for Craig above all. It kind of popcorned out a bunch of ideas, but my recommendation above all is to take into account two different functions, backup and disaster recovery. Backup, I would think all the data would be applicable to that. Disaster recovery is what do we do if all of this fails and falls apart? if you have backup, the number one thing I want you to also remember, Craig, is this thing called the 3-2-1 rule. And the 3-2-1 rule states that you should have three different copies of your data on two different media, one of them being off-site. And the beautiful thing about this rule is it doesn't require any specific technology. This could be tapes, this could be replicated VMs, and if it's a replicated VM, then you also have your disaster recovery, by the way. If you have that replicated VM off-site, for example, you've got the primary data would be the first copy, a backup would be the second copy, and then the replica off-site would be the third copy of the data, and it would be off-site, right? So it doesn't require any specific technology yet. It can address usually any failure scenario. Throw a couple twists in there, things like offline. Now that might be a little bit harder because that might involve purchasing a tape or removable drives and things like that. And then you walk into a situation where you're a little bit more resilient against ransomware. So my highest advice is, you know, think of that 3-2-1 rule. Think of disk systems, storage systems, service provider technologies, cloud technologies like using object storage. And think about moving backup data even within a site or to the other building if you have multiple sites. I know a lot of people don't have second sites and they really don't have the offsite element so easy. So service providers are a good way to do that. Another thing that people can do, and I do this at home. Okay, so this Craig's question feels a little mid-market and below, right? Yep. So it's not, Craig probably doesn't run the largest bank in the country with a question like that. but what I do at home follows a lot of SMB because, you know, because of this travel schedule, my wife and I, we hire a nanny at home. So believe it or not, I have payroll data at home that I actually care about. Mm-hmm. I am a small business, so we have an EIN. And I love my neighborhood, love my house, but I'm to be decided about my ISP, in particular, the upload speed. So sending it to the cloud or to a service provider isn't yet a practical option with my measly megabit of bandwidth upload. So what I've done at home is kind of on the other end of the house, like a, you know, far side, near side, I've put in these fireproof hard drives from IOSafe. I don't know if you've heard of them. They actually got acquired by somebody, but those hard drives are actually rather awesome. And what I mean by that is they're very resilient against fire, water, and in some cases, shock and drop. Mm-hmm. But, and I might be dated in this news, but something to remember is that they also include a forensic data recovery service. So every device you buy, if it got burned up, part of the offering, because it's in this nice ruggedized case, is that it comes with a forensic data recovery service. So if you can't get into it, because of fire, flood, or blood, or whatever, you can ship it to the nerds and they'll get on nerds. It.
They are real people, Rick, with real hearts.
The forensic data recovery engineer.
There you go.
But no, I really like those IOSafe devices. I think I have three of them at home, because that's what I do. You know, and they have one of them that's even an embezzled Synology that even has RAID and, you know, some of the Synology features, right? So those are pretty low cost, high functionality with an additional level of resiliency. And I'll throw you a tip one more, Craig. This is also one thing I do at home. I have one of those managed power outlets, like a smart plug device that, you know, has a Wi-Fi and it's a plug that I can like on off on my phone. But what I've done is told that plug to only turn on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And then once a week at Wednesday at 8:01 p.m., oh, and by the way, the smart plug has plugged into it one other IOSafe that's network attached.
Okay.
So it's basically an iSCSI device that shows up, or I'm sorry, a SMB like NAS device that shows up. So at 8:01 p.m., I then go and run a backup job just to that target, and then it shuts off. So basically, the storage device comes on for a backup job and then immediately turns off. So I have this like extra copy that is a little bit resilient and get, you know, ransomware and the like. So those are a couple tips that I will popcorn out for that.
Yeah, no, I think that that falls right in line. I mean, $7,500, while is a lot of money, it's in the enterprise world or even business world, it's not a whole lot. So you definitely got to be, you know, resourceful on that. And I will give a shout out because he did not do it, but Rick's own company, Veeam, makes some pretty good software that people tend to like for backup and recovery.
Yeah, so I'll disclose, right? When I give out these pieces of advice, they definitely work with Veeam. I can't really say, I don't really know, honestly, if they'll work with other products, right? I do know that when we had that chat about ransomware, specifically when I was in Atlanta, a lot of that advice would work on any product, right? So the 3-2-1 rule generally does apply everywhere, but everything I would ever advise definitely works for Veeam, mysteriously. Yeah. So.
Very, very cool. And so I'm still envious of where you're actually doing this from.
Oh,
And I,
yeah, it's so. The food here is amazing.
oh, I
That's
can't,
the.
I can only imagine. But if you have a moment, Rick, what you should do is go walk the South Course. There is a very famous hole. I believe it's called La Jolla, and I'm sure people are going
La
to
Jolla. Yeah.
La Jolla. That is it. I knew I was looking at the name, and I was like, that
Yeah.
Jolla is not it.
No, no.
This is anybody who's watched anything else that I've done knows that I'm terrible at enunciating any words correctly.
Just to rub it in as we wrap up here, you know, I'll get out of the way. You don't want to see me. So it's just a beautiful place here. I've never that's the courtyard too. That's not even the it's not even like I don't even have a good view. So
So you should whoa, you should
you should go.
go walk the course for that one. And then it's actually where they're going to have the 2021 US Open, and they also had it back in 2008, I believe. And it is one of the most iconic holes in all of golf, right up there with the Pebble Beach course, which is actually a little bit further away than you from you than I was originally thinking. It's only a scant 7 hour drive, but
Well, golf, isn't that the game where they get on the ice and they kick that oblong ball through the net? Is that golf?
no, this is the one where they ruin a good walk. That's
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, that one.
so
I'm just joking. No, I used to caddy, actually. You know,
really.
Brad and I both grew up in Cincinnati. There's a golf course there. I used to caddy, and I know golf quite well, but I never really got into it. So. But I do appreciate just the scenery and this venue, and the staff have been outstanding.
Oh,
And
sure.
yeah, I've got a free evening here, so maybe I'll go check it out.
Yeah, my version of golf is usually it's just me and like three other local dads who are just getting away from the family for a little bit. Terrible golf, terrible golf. But it's a lot of ribbing on each other because none of us can hit it straight. So, all right, Rick. I'm very jealous that you're still there. Very. You got anything else for us before we shut it down? What's going on in the Rickatron world? Anything new happening? Obviously, you're out in what appears to be fantastic weather on that side of the planet. Back home, it's relatively mild here. Let's see, it's about 29 centigrade. It's about 85 freedom units, so it's not too bad.
That's oh yeah, actually, you know, a little Fahrenheit Celsius math, 28 is 82. So there you go. Wah, 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 wah.
That's how I do it every time.
Yeah, the no, I had my aircon unit fail, and last week in Ohio it was really
Oh,
hot,
that's
so that was a problem. Got a good deal to get that fixed. Learned a lot about refrigerant and coolant
Is
and
this the
water.
did you so the reason I bring this up is I need a new AC unit, and I think we have R22, which is the old stuff.
That's what I had too. And there's gonna be a time where you can't, or at least it's not gonna be produced. So the price is just gonna go wall like that. So I had a pretty significant mechanical issue on the condenser that it was just time.
It was
So
just
we
time.
got it done. But no, other than problems, you know, just doing Veeam stuff, preparing. I got an amazing story coming by the end of the year for ransomware. It does centralize on a Veeam capability that we've not announced yet, but I'm scheming that pretty big. I've got a big slew of events, Veeam events. In fact, I'm not going to VMworld this year, Microsoft's big event, but that's because I have two trips before and one trip the week after
Oh,
VMworld
yeah.
to Argentina, Brazil, and then China. So
Oh,
three out
those are
of.
just like right down the street. I don't know what you're.
Yeah, let's do it all. But it's so for. Starting next week, out of the next 5 weeks, three of them I'll be gone. So I need to be specific with my time. So, anyways, that's what's up. And, you know, we're getting ready to, and this was the theme here for the analysts this week. We're going to kick off a new set of releases and
Oh,
going
nice.
into Microsoft Ignite prep mode. Unfortunately, I can't go to that this year because they moved the date and I'd already booked my wife and I vacation to Japan. But We've got a big capability we announced there that we're starting to prep up with Veeam Backup and Replication for Azure. So a lot of good stuff coming, so busy time as usual.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Ignite because we're starting our planning on the media side, because we always that is our biggest conference of the year just for the things that we cover in the industry. And obviously, you guys are going to be announcing stuff, so that means we're going to be talking a lot here. This is good stuff.
Let's do it. I like it. So yeah, no, happy to be on again, and hopefully the, next time I'll be in a equally interesting venue. Well, not one. Oh, it might be South America next time. We'll see.
Maybe you can do it from a cubicle though down there and make me feel a little better.
I'll go into the office for you. Yeah. Okay.
All good, all good, Rick. Well, we very much appreciate you taking time out of your fantastic location to drop in and talk with us and to everybody else. Make sure you hit those like and subscribe buttons down below. A lot of you have been doing that lately. We've been growing pretty well lately. Very much appreciate it. We'll catch all of you right back here next time on the Enterprise Dish.